Thank you, and if you will turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, I'll be reading from verse 28 through 31. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Now hear God's word. Do you not know, or have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and the vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain strength. They will mount up like wings. They will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for giving. So in contemplating this scripture and thinking about an area that I have to constantly work on in myself, and I think my wife would fully agree that the area of patience is not a strength in me. It is something I need to work on. She kindly helps me remember that. And I mean that. She kindly helps me remember it. And her patience with me is something I need to remember. But primarily I need to remember God's patience with me. You know, when I gave the title for this discussion, it's a bit of a double entendre. Is it loving patience or is it loving patience? I think it's both. In this age, we are in the instant gratification time. You want to look up something? Google. Press a button, you can order Chinese, you can order food, you can do these things. It's a digital age with instant feedback. I marvel at the self-checkout line now. I was in Save Mart the other day, up where I stay up north occasionally, and walked in the store, got what I needed, walked out the store. I didn't talk or make eye contact with almost anyone else in the store, certainly none of the employees. In and out. It was lovely. So I thought. You can scan your items. Get out, you don't have to look, say hello, good morning to anybody. As I got out to the car, I was mindful of the time in the Save Mart here that doesn't have self-checkout. That I don't think it does. I don't remember. It doesn't. Okay. And there was a couple of checkers there that, you know, Debbie and I have been going to this Save Mart here for over 20 years. And we've gotten to know them. We've brought them back things from travels. We engage them, ask about what's going on, stand there for a moment and talk to them. And sometimes I forget to look at the person waiting in line with their foot like this, you know. Why are you talking? Get out. And I just kind of smiled to myself as I got back into my car at the Save Mart up in Modesto where I had to speak to nobody. And I wasn't sure that was better. While I was in Sacramento, I summoned a car with Uber and can watch their progress to come pick me up in 6 minutes. It took 6.5. But I was okay with that. That's not showing patience, by the way. We're in an age where time is of the essence. There was a time when somebody missed a bus or a train and they'd expect to wait a few hours or a day or two, and that's what you did. I've been in an airport where tempers flare if the flight's 5 minutes late. I've probably been one of those people. Things like running red lights. I don't know if you know this, but I looked up something on running a red light. The average delay by going to a red light, staying at a red light, is 50 seconds. 50 seconds. The cost of injuries and car repairs from red light run incidents is estimated to be over $7 billion for 50 seconds of waiting. That should be a lot lower. America is a country where we jump and run traffic lights to save seconds. But yet, we'll wait patiently for 25 minutes for a restaurant we like. Yesterday, Deb and I went out and had a little bit of errands to run and a date, and we went to our favorite restaurant, and they said, "Ooh, the wait's 25 minutes. I said, "Oh, okay." Took the clicker. This is the same guy that doesn't want to wait 50 seconds for the red light. Patience is a virtue. It is one of the queen of virtues, as they say. It is one of the preeminent virtues that shows our ability to exercise self-control. I remember when the first droughts that I recall as a young adult hit in California. I had a friend that lived up near Lake Folsom, and the lake was nearly dry, a little stream trickling through it. And there were people talking about this drought. This is back in the late 1970s. And the reports would be it was going to take a decade for it to refill because of the droughts, because of what's gone on. The next year, Folsom Dam almost burst. It was refilled in one season. We saw that again last rain season for us. Tremendous drought. Again, we almost, one of the dams up there was almost going to burst. Waiting on the Lord is not only good sense, it's a command. If Israel had known that it would have taken 40 years to prepare them to enter the promised land, I think, my guess is, they wouldn't have even gone to Egypt. Israel learned that the most important lesson in the wilderness was how to wait on the Lord. And waiting wasn't Israel's greatest strength. Neither is mine. They had conflicting expectations, and they experienced harshness in the wilderness. Their anxious expectation for the promised land led them to believe that there were supposed to be difficulties ahead, but there were. I'm going to ask you to turn to Numbers 21. Numbers 21, 4 and 5. Numbers 21, 4 and 5. Then they sent out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient because of the journey. The people spoke against God and Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, and we loathe this miserable food." See, they had conflicting expectations. Here they had been miraculously saved out of Egypt. The Red Sea parting before them. Manna coming down for them to eat. But that wasn't good enough. They became painfully tender to the slightest inconvenience, almost longing to go back to Egypt. It's been said that people struggle the most with expectations that aren't founded in reality and often driven by just whims. I'm going to ask you to go to James 1, 2 through 8. in the New Testament to James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all generously and without reproach. It'll be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. The one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, and unstable in all his ways. Consider your difficult circumstances as pure joy. Wow. That's not a question or an option. But it's a command. These difficulties in our lives, whatever the difficulty, are intended to produce a perseverance in us. And God uses this perseverance to finish his work in us, or to continue the work in us to our maturity. When we have a difficulty understanding the purpose of our trials and tribulations, we must go first to God for the wisdom, as we are waiting on him. I try to figure things out myself and end up struggling. My wife sees that in my sleepless nights. The other night, I had a tough one. And she asked me when I got up, you know, did you sleep well? And no, I didn't. And her statement to me was, did you pray a lot? And I did. And I had a great night's sleep the next night. Jesus understood the nature and purpose of suffering. This enabled him to differ or distinguish his desires by saying, my time has not come yet. This was the motive for deferring or moving our desires out. Most of us think our time has come 5 minutes after a desire pops into our mind. In James 5, 7 through 9, it speaks as, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. James writes, the Lord is coming near, and the judge is standing at the door. After almost 2,000 years, it was written by James, we're asking ourselves, what does that mean? How are we supposed to know? How are we supposed to understand the circumstance we're in is one that is for our benefit? Well, we're supposed to trust in faith. That's how we're supposed to know. It may not make sense to us. Doesn't make sense to me sometimes. You know, it'd be so easy if they would just move with the green light. One time, not long ago, the person in front of me delayed at the green light, at the light turning green. And the guy behind me honked. And I probably would have honked if I'd have been more attentive. And just then, a truck ran the red light in front of us. I don't know if that person in front of me saw the truck. It kind of came out of nowhere from what I was looking at. I don't know if they were looking down, if they were blowing their nose. I don't know what they were doing. But because they didn't leap out from the green light, it appeared to me an accident was avoided. Yet the person behind me had to honk their horn. Those are humbling moments when we are allowed to see God's protecting us. When we're allowed to see that being patient is that virtue. I struggle personally with understanding the difference between being patient and being lazy. That's my excuse. I'm not lazy, I've just got to make it happen, right? What's really going on there is my ego is getting in the way. My needs start becoming the most important thing instead of others. My desires, my wants. I forget what it's like to be a servant leader. And I start acting like a boss. And I need to repent of that. And I need to be watchful and aware. It's relatively easy to understand that we need to wait upon God. But what do we do while we're waiting? What do we do with that time? Time spent waiting on the Lord are usually those times, and can often be, at least in my life, when temptations and challenges come in. Are those the times that I'm to learn to persevere? Are those the times that I'm supposed to learn the lesson again, like the Israelites did when they felt like they had to fashion the golden calf? Right? While we're waiting upon the Lord, we must be determined to live by faith. Faith requires believing in the unseen. If we think that God is not acting swiftly and decisively, take a moment to faithfully consider that His thoughts aren't our thoughts. His ways aren't our ways. And that He's working, if you will, I'll use a term, behind the scenes. How often has something turned out when you get the rest of the story? Or you get a moment of insight or understanding where a circumstance you thought didn't make sense, maybe even angered you, or you were tempted to anger, and then you get the rest of the story. I know many times for me it's been humbling to understand that the assumptions I was making were selfish, uninformed, and not biblical. The Christians to whom Peter was writing became anxious as they saw time ticking away. His promise was beginning to look impossible. They were starting to think that they had missed out. Peter reminded that God is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness, but long-suffering toward us. In Psalm 119, the two verses here, 116 and 170, "Sustain me according to Your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always have regard for Your decrees." The time spent waiting on the Lord, whether in meditation or prayer or reading the Word or sitting quietly for a moment, is not only time well spent, it is an indication of wisdom. And it's a wisdom that is God-given. Psalm 1, 1 through 6, please go there. Psalm 1, 1 through 6. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of righteousness. For the Lord knows the way of righteousness, but the way of the wicked will perish. Waiting on the Lord and reflecting on His word while you're waiting, while I'm waiting, is a sign of spiritual maturity. It's an indication of the simpleness of our faith, of the depth with which we rely on the Word. Waiting in reflective meditation and time spent in maturing our thoughts regarding God and asking Him for wisdom in applying His Word to the things at hand, to the problems at hand, to the challenges at hand, to the project at hand. Seeking Him first. Jeremiah prayed for direction and correction as he sought the Lord. In Jeremiah 10, he writes, "I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. Correct me, O Lord, but only with justice, not your anger. Test to reduce me, lest you reduce me to nothing." Praying for the Lord to correct us with judgment, with a loving hand, to guide us, to give me a sense of His presence. After all, anything that we accomplish, any events, any task before us, any project, any problem, challenge, any situation, if we are successful in it, as I would suggest the definition of success is that we accomplish what's before us in a godly manner, is only by and through the Holy Spirit and God's grace, not because we're particularly good or clever. If we believe that God directs our steps, if we believe that God directs our hands, our thoughts, when we yield to Him and submit to Him. There's a reason why you're put in that challenge. I'm put in that challenge. And I've said that before in the Sunday school, when I found that phrase about not praying for a lighter load, but praying for a stronger back. Okay? Asking to be put in the harness more, not to have things go smooth. Now, I'm not saying that we need to pray for adversity. We're in a world of adversity. We're in a world of fallen, cursed sinners. So there's plenty out there. But accepting that God custom makes our trials for us to not only sanctify us, all these ideas of maturing and honing us, but please, and I say this in a mirror, don't get hung up on how He's perfecting you. Concentrate on how He's using you. Okay? It's not the story of your perfecting and maturity that's really important here, not my story. That's a byproduct of being a useful tool in the hand of God. It's a byproduct. It's not the goal. Waiting on the Lord requires us to consider His words. The psalmist writes, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. Teach me, for you are my God, my Savior." That's in Psalm 25. Well, I want to encourage you, and as I was encouraged when looking at this, waiting on God has great benefits. Showing and learning patience has tremendous returns on that investment in time. I can't quantify you. I can't tell you that when you wait on the Lord for 5 minutes, You get 30 minutes of good times. I can't give you an equation there. But I will tell you that as I learn, and as the scripture tells us, waiting on the Lord is blessed by him. Reflecting on his truth will serve not only you to your benefit, but you become more and more that useful tool. We're all under observation, to some extent, all the time, by our brothers and sisters here, by our wives, by our children, by our co-workers, by people in the store. You're always under observation. Are you reflecting? Am I reflecting in every moment that grace that we serve a risen Savior who loved us while we were unloving? Are we reflecting the sacrifice that he made for us? Are we reflecting our unworthiness and our estate as a sinner? I don't mean that we go around flogging our backs, you know, binding our wrists, doing those things. But in your everyday discussion, are you reflecting the work of Christ in your life? Am I doing that? It's not easy. For easy, anybody could do it. It's not easy. It is the narrow road. It's not easy because it's not supposed to be easy. It is, though, biblical. Again and again, we're reminded of the blessing of waiting on the Lord. An aspect of waiting on the Lord that I want to submit to you here in conclusion that is often in my prayers, I would encourage you the same. It's helped me. I'm still on that long road. And that is seeking to serve others, putting others' needs before your own. Seeing that moment when you can lend a hand or an encouraging word. Taking a moment to call each other up and say, "How's your day?" Praying for each other. See, we're given so much time on this planet. God gives us this much time. How we invest that time is key. Are you investing it in those around you, in others? Am I investing it in their needs? Am I taking time in my day to show that I believe my prayers are heard by God and I'm going to invest them in other people? See, there's two parts there. First of all, do you believe your prayers are heard? If you do, I hope you do, do you believe that investing them in someone else's needs glorifies God? In investing in someone else's desires or pains or troubles, investing your prayer in thinking of them is an aspect of putting someone else before yourself. Israel grew quite grumpy. They grew discontented, the Israelites. God chastened them with venomous snakes, right? When they spoke against the Lord, the curse manifested itself. They did not see that God was preparing them for the next step in his plan. If we focus our days, if we focus our waking moments on serving others, on waiting on the Lord, I believe that I will grow to love that. To love that patience virtue. It is a major challenge for me now. And therefore, I'm not showing that I love it. I need to learn to love patience. And we need to learn to lovingly be patient. Today, most of our lives are focused on the next problem at hand, the next moment, the next challenge. My encouragement to you, my friends, family, brothers and sisters here, that if you can invest your time in the virtue of patience and the virtue of putting others before yourself, I believe we will grow stronger as a family, as a community. And maybe, and just maybe, we'll be allowed to see how God is using us in this community. Whether it's how we talk to the people when we went over to the Free Will Baptist Church today and met with them on some things, people in the store, the people in our classes, the people in our workplaces, other folks that we come in contact with. If we invest that faith and time in putting others before ourselves, that's a small step that I am working on developing a love of patience and to be patient in a loving way. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for the day that you give us. Lord, we